Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show.
Actor, writer, producer Tom Malloy has most recently produced Screamers, a docu-horror, and has twice been called the best found footage movie ever, as well as Hero of the Underworld, starring Tom Malloy, Nicole Fox, and Quentin Aaron on Hulu and VOD everywhere, and Fairhaven, which was in theaters earlier this year and is now on Showtime, as well as the teen drama Ashley. Malloy's unique ability to both write projects and raise the funding for them has been a primary factor in his successes. Malloy shares his expertise on the subject in his best-selling book about independent film financing, Bankroll, which is now in its second edition and is considered the gold standard of indie film financing. In 2014, he partnered with distribution expert Jason Brubaker to create the Film Finance Guide. In 2016, Malloy partnered with Wall Street broker Brian Glass to create Glass House Distribution, a distribution and sales company whose motto of transparency has already caused the company to grow and thrive. And Carol, I understand Tom teaches the intentional filmmaking class, how to raise money for film, and he's a donor to the Roy Dean Film Grants as well, right?
He donated his time to helping independent documentary and feature filmmakers fund their films. And Tom teaches film funding and the intentional filmmaking class. And thank you, Tom, so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, happy as always to be here.
Well, let's get started. I want to know, you've been in the business for a while, and you must have seen many changes in distribution since you started producing, writing, and funding your own films. So tell us what some of these changes are that you've watched.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things, the single biggest change was the advent of VOD over DVD. I mean, like, DVD is becoming almost a forgotten medium at this point, you know, and it used to be, at least when I started, that was like, your, you know, 90% of your revenue was from your DVD sales. And so at that point, movies could be financed for a lot more because they could make a lot more. And nowadays with VOD, and while there's a ton of streaming outlets, you almost have to have the mindset of you make a little bit off of a lot of outlets versus a little bit of a bunch of outlets versus making one big, you know, splash in, say, the DVD world or something like that. So it's now changed, and it's spread out and different, but it's evolving.
Well, what do you think is where is it going? What do you see happening? Do you see any future trends starting?
Well, yeah, you know, I think that the key is, in some ways, there's this bigger rift between the major studio blockbuster films and the independent films. And there used to be not as much of a rift. It used to be, you know, you could make an independent film up to $10 million budget, and that was okay because you could make that back. Nowadays, that would be, you'd be crazy to make a movie, you know, even over $3, $4 million, unless you had some A-list cast attached to it, you know. So the key, I think, is, you've got to, you know, that you have to make more with less, and then you have to take advantage of the technology that's available, which is great. That's a good thing. And actors who want to work and try to make movies that look, you know, exponentially more than they cost.
Right. Well, that's a good producer, isn't it? Someone who can double or triple their budget on the screen. Well, what do you think are the benefits of the traditional distribution in today's film world?
Well, you know, a lot of, there's a thing out there, and kind of maybe, I don't know if it's a trend or if it's just an option, I would say, that filmmakers could kind of now put their work on outlets such as Amazon and iTunes directly. And then there's even services like Distributor and Premiere Digital that, where you could pay to have those, you know, your film aggregated to those outlets. But, you know, what it's missing, I think, is a couple things. One is that, you know, like for for example, my company, and we're just one of the many companies that sell to foreign territories. And so then you wouldn't have any foreign sales on your title if you did it yourself. And the other thing is, if the distribution company is going to distribute in the U.S., then they're usually hopefully going to put marketing dollars behind it, and they'll have relationships to get it, you know, better placement. So not all, like, VOD is kind of created equal. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to self-distribute, you better have a huge list of people that you know will guarantee to go for the film. You know, it's huge social media, maybe a huge following, all of that. And then potentially you can do it yourself. But at the end of the day, I think that relationships and ability to distribute and market wins out, in my opinion. I'd still rather have a traditional distributor that's going to, you know, choose my film. It's almost like book publishing in a way. When you have a big machine behind you, then you can get it into more outlets. Now, I've seen many people be successful self-publishing a book, and that's okay, but they've had to work really hard at it. You know, it's like, so it comes down to do you want to do the work, or you want to let a company that'll do the work for you, you know?
Exactly. Well, give us an idea of what a good distribution deal would be. You just mentioned that you expect them to put some money in and start marketing it for you. What would you want in a good deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's years ago, there were bigger MGs, which would be a minimum guarantee, which would be money up front that they'd give you to acquire your film. As opposed, by the way, to a buyout, which would be where it's acquired for a certain amount of money, and then you've kind of signed away all rights to it. But if they give you a certain MG, that's one thing, and they're going away. I mean, they're shrinking, and they're less and less. But if I didn't have an MG, like if I was trying to sell a film and they didn't give me a cash offer, you know, MG up front, I would want to make sure that they, in the contract, had an allocation of certain marketing money there. So that we knew that they were going to spend X amount of dollars marketing it, and you know, some guarantees that they're going to put it into, you know, theaters, or they're going to put it in VOD, or whatever they're going to do. There's some guarantees contractually, so that you know that they're not just going to take it. And there's a lot of people out there that just want to sign movies, and throw mud up against the wall and see what sells. But you got to watch out for that. So, you know, one of the things I tell filmmakers is, if you're going to sign with a distributor, you should go not ask the distributor for some recommendations, but kind of just go on IMDb, see what the distributor has distributed, and just kind of call some of those filmmakers from past films and ask, what was your experience? And they'll be happy to tell you, especially if it's negative. They'll be happy to tell you one way or the other what they thought of that company.
Yes, that's really important to get personal reviews back on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you would be looking for them to spend money on the marketing, and you would be looking at the past, the history, if the people that worked with them before had done well. Well, one of the complaints I've heard from filmmakers is that they got a good deal, even some of the times with Sony Classics or some of the other good distributors, but they didn't make any money because the theaters they used were not in the location where the people, where the type of people live. For example, you know, a film that would be for students might be down in Downey, but it wouldn't be in West LA where the colleges are, right?
Yeah.
So how do you know where they're going to distribute it?
Well, yeah, that's the key. I mean, that's a problem, and you got to make sure that you talk to them and you try to figure that out beforehand, because a lot of times they'll say, oh, yeah, we'll put it in theaters, and then it'll be a couple of art house theaters here and there, which may not be the right place for your film, you know. So I think that there's somewhat of an issue with the independent films automatically going to the art house theaters, because that's not the theaters that people go to on a regular basis. That's for a certain specific audience. But you nailed it on it, you know. I was saying, imagine if you spent $25,000 and you put it into two or three theaters and to get an audience there, and then, you know, it didn't make any money. And I was recently talking to a distributor, and he was saying, what if you put that $25,000 into Facebook ads? Imagine how much more money you would get from, you know, the direct click, direct trailer plays that are going to click right through to the VOD. So what's more in the long run? But theatrical has always kind of had that ego thing just for people to say, you know, my film was in theaters. So that's a big thing, and it's a prestige for filmmakers. So they got to weigh it against what do they want, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I never thought about that, putting the money into advertising where on Facebook where you can see the trailer and then click right into the VOD. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine that. Like, it's much – I mean, imagine using that money that you're going to do theatrical that may be wasted money versus running ads, you know.
Well, yeah. We would see – they would see some – definitely be able to track their return so quickly that –
yeah.
Even if they put $5,000 out to see what the return was, they'd know how much more to spend. That's terrific, Tom.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how filmmakers find distributors, because everybody wants to know what, first of all, everybody goes out to the festivals and they think that they're going to get distributed, but many times they don't. So what's the next step?
Well, you know, like I'll be in Toronto tomorrow for the film festival / market, and you know that's a good one as far as festivals go. That is starting to become. You want to look for the festivals that are the markets as well, you know. And the main three that I'm talking about are the American Film Market, which has the AFI Festival, and then the Cannes Film Market, which also has the Cannes Film Festival, and then the Berlin, the European Film Market. And so those markets are really where you want to go as a filmmaker and start making distributor relationships. You know, it's not an impenetrable wall at all in any way, shape, or form. Like, there are people that are acquisitions people for companies, and the only wall you'll run into is maybe they see your trailer and they say it's not good enough, or, you know, it doesn't have the names that we're looking for. But other than that, I mean, there's so many of them. That's their job, is to watch your movie and hopefully find that diamond in the rough. And so they're out there and they're accessible. So, you know, I, you know, and I'm saying this because I know there's people out there that feel like either they can't find them or they got to pay somebody to find distributors for them. And that's just not the case. You know, you got to, okay, it's very simple to buy a badge to AFM, kind of walk around and walk in and introduce yourself and get the business cards of the acquisitions people and then send them your movie.
Get the business cards and then send them your movie. Of course, why not? I mean, the
worst
case is they just throw it away, but you might have a winner there.
Yeah. And if you met them at AFM and you introduced yourself and you were friendly and all that, I guarantee they'll at least watch your trailer. You know, I can't imagine them not even doing that, you know. So you can go there and walk away with 50 potential distributor leads. And, you know, hopefully one of them says yes.
Of course. That sounds really good. Well, now, you go to AFM every year. It's like a religion with you. You are there constantly. And Cannes, you're there every year, right?
This is my 12th year at AFM in a row. And Cannes, this year was number 5 for me for Cannes. So 5th Cannes, 12th AFM. So, yeah, I'm there a lot.
And that's wonderful because partially how you've been able to make so many films and get them distributed through the people you've met on your trips?
100%. I mean, I 100% credit that. You know, now I own the distribution company, and the past 2 AFMs were there as with an office, and we'll be there this year. And then Cannes, we were there with an office. But prior to that, you know, what is that, 9 AFMs? That I was there as a filmmaker. I'm so sorry because I'm driving through a storm right now, unfortunately, you know, headed into New York City. And of course, it's got to be, it's like maybe pouring. So I apologize, but I'm getting closer to New York City. So I think the signal should be better. Okay. So what I was saying was, and you can hear me okay now? Is it okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. What I'm saying is that AFM 100%, going to AFM and going to Cannes, it has helped my career, and I attribute that definitely to getting deals and selling movies. I mean, I wouldn't be where I was without those two places. And like I said, if this year is my 12th AFM, it'll be my 3rd as a distributor. We did the past 2 as a distributor, and then, so that means 9 years before I was a filmmaker going there. And all of my sales and my connections have been made through there. So when you walk in, you kind of see it's like the New York Stock Exchange or the movie business, you know, and you see this is the market of independent films, and this is where if I want to thrive in this business and make money at it, this is where I need to be.
Exactly. And you keep all those names in a database. I heard you say in our intentional filmmaking class one day how important that is to keep all those records, right?
Oh, gosh. I have multiple lists here and there. I have Excel files. I have databases. I have stacks of business cards. I have index cards. You know, it's so tough to type things in when you're taking meetings. So, like, the new thing we've been all doing is taking business cards, and you have a small notebook and you staple it to the notebook, and then you take notes on that page so that you can make notes of that person. And then, you know, this year at Cannes, we had a card scanner, so they were immediately into an Excel file once we were there. You know, you just had to go in and make little corrections. But yeah, I mean, lists are, you know, that's, if you want me, my secret to success is making lists and following up on those lists.
Wonderful. Now, tell me about this card scanner. In other words, somebody gives you a business card, and you have, is it an app on your phone or what?
Yeah, it's an app. I believe it's called CamCard, CamCard. And you take a picture of the card, and it basically scans it in and populates these fields. And, you know, especially when you're dealing with foreign entities, you got to sometimes go in and change things. You know, it spells things wrong. But that's fine. At least you're going to have it, you know, 90% accurate. You fix all that stuff, and then boom, it's in the database, and you can export it as an Excel file. So yeah, that's what we did with all our connections in CAM.
Oh, that's fabulous. Okay, I know the filmmakers are going to love that one.
Sure.
And now you say you're going to Toronto this year. Will that be? Are you looking for product?
I am. I'm looking to acquire movies for my distribution company, but then also looking. All of our films that I think we have 16 movies now that I've acquired. And these are none of the films that I produced. You know, I make that distinction, at least up to this point. Glasshouse Distribution, I don't sell anything that I produce. So it's kind of not a conflict of interest. I mean, we sell other people's movies. And so I have those movies, and I'll have our catalog. And there's buyers there. I mean, you know, I got the Toronto list, and I think there was like 1,000 buyers attending. So I'll try to, you know, I have about say 7 or 8 meetings set up with buyers so far, and there's, you know, people walking around, and so hopefully get some action on the films that we already have.
Oh, this is great. And you have 16. Are they mostly features?
Oh, yeah, mostly features. We have 2 documentaries, and, you know, one is really a feature/TV series called Dropping the Soap. It's kind of behind the soap opera. Behind-the-scenes soap opera, and it was a web series in the States, but it's internationally it's a movie. And we just got an Emmy nomination for Jane Lynch, who's the star of the show. So she's we got a Best Actress nomination for a web series, so that's great. You know, if she wins the Emmy, that'll even give us more pop on the title.
Oh, won't that be nice? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So let's start with docs. What do you look for a documentary that you want to distribute? Can you give us some ideas?
Yeah, for me, the documentary has to be something compelling and exciting, you know, or something where there's passion just from watching the trailer. That would be the thing. You know, the thing I run into sometimes with documentaries is that there's nothing in the trailer that makes me go, oh, my God, I got to see that, you know. Versus a feature, uh-huh. A lot of times you can watch the trailer and say, I've got to see that. So if you could do that, I've seen the documentary trailers where I've seen the trailer and go, oh, wow, I'm definitely got to check this out. This would be really cool. And when I see that, that's when I know, because that's how you're going to get the buyers hooked. You know, you get them to watch your movie by 2 things, artwork and trailer. And, you know, we make a lot of those in-house for our films. But, you know, if somebody could show me a documentary trailer that is super compelling, well, then, yeah, we could sell that.
Exactly. So you get people to see the films by the artwork and the trailer. So to you, those are the 2 most important items.
Yes,
that's your sales tools.
100%. And then it comes down to them watching the movie, you know, and so the movie's got to hold up. But I've had deals made just off of the trailers, which is cool. You know, somebody watches the trailer and go, that yeah, this looks like what we're looking for, and then they'll – make a deal right there, especially China. I got, you know, I think we sold 4 movies in Cannes to China, and none of them were watched. they were all just off the trailer.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
They knew their market that well.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, all right. Now, what are you looking for in a feature?
I would say for a feature, it's a little bit different. because the first thing we look for is names, you know, famous faces and names. And the bigger the names, the better. So that's like the first thing, because in a foreign market, so much is based on star names. So that's the number one priority. You know, when you bring me a drama with no names in it, it better have won awards at, you know, 10 festivals, because we probably won't look at it because it's so tough to sell, you know. And it's like, if we can't sell it, I don't want to take your movie. It may be a great movie, but I can't, you know, the buyers won't even look at it. They won't even consider it. So the first thing we look for is names. And I tell filmmakers that all the time, like, you know, if you have a budget, you know, just try to get one name to come in. That just happened with a friend of mine who did a movie for $75,000, and he allocated $10,000 for a star to come there for one day. And she was in the movie, and we're selling the movie based on her face on the poster, you know. So names are big, and for that. Then failing any names, then you got to have laurels, you know, which is festival awards or festival acceptances. So those two things are super important. And then if it's got none of those, then it should be a genre. It should be action or sci-fi or horror. If it's a comedy or a drama and it's got no awards at festivals and it's got no names, it's going to be tough to sell it no matter who you go to.
And how about sci-fi? Is that hot right now, or is that something that's always hot?
Yeah, it's any of those. You know, sci-fi has a little advantage because it's not as saturated as horror is. But any of those genre films sell because they can play internationally. You know, I'm a huge horror fan. And so I love watching horror movies. I've never looked at it and go, oh, this one's from this country. I just go, oh, this looks scary. So I'm happy to watch something that Korea or from Spain or whatever, because that's the way it is with scary movies. So genre movies get away with a lot more sales because they play in different, you know, in different territories versus, you know, maybe a comedy, even with some names in it, the humor's not the same across the boards, obviously, you know, country-wise. So you're always safer with genre films.
You're safer with genre films, right, because I love British films, but I don't always understand their comedies, so I'm totally with you on that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's all, yeah. You watch and you go, wait, is this person funny? Yeah, it's very subjective.
Right. Well, listen, I know you're a talented writer, and tell me, how many films have you written and how many have you sold? What's going on at that part of your life?
Well, you know, as far as screenplays go, I've been lucky enough to sell, you know, over, I think it was like 23 or 24, I've had either, it's been optioned, sold, or made into films.
Wow.
So that's pretty great. Yeah, you know, and I did a lot of, like, writing for, polishing for scripts for projects. And so, you know, I've been lucky enough there. And right now I've just co-wrote a script that is a scary kind of, an edgy, I'd say, thriller that we're shooting in November. And I have a screenplay that's being turned into a graphic novel that would probably be ready, I'd say, January or February of next year. But it's, you know, the pages come to me every month or so. I get a couple more pages. And so, you know, but it's all my writing, but then it's being illustrated now. So those are, on the writing front, that's what I'm working on.
Oh, this sounds wonderful. But, Dad, you have a phenomenal success rate with your writing. So it's amazing. But tell me something now. So you co-wrote something, and that's being produced. And you're also producing, and are you acting in this in November?
I am, yeah. I'm producing and acting in it. It's a small film we're doing kind of like as a fun acting exercise. We have a bunch of actor friends that got together that all have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of celebrity and have been in a ton of movies. And we're just kind of putting this together based on, you know, what I was able to do with my last movie, Screamers. And so we're doing a similar movie, and it should be pretty fun. I don't want to give the details yet, but let's just say it's a very edgy thriller.
Oh, good, because I remember one day you put something out on Facebook and said, I want to make a movie. Who's in? Who wants to make a movie with me?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
where you got your friends to co-produce this and write
it? It's funny. Twice I've done that. I did that for Screamers when I wasn't even thinking about a horror movie, and I just was at a haunted hayride with my daughter, who's a big horror fan, and I just got this feeling that I wanted to make a scary movie. And I posted, you know, I want to make another scary movie. You know, who's in? And, I mean, I probably have 400 people commenting on that. And, you know, within a month I had the financing, and within two months we were shooting. Within 3 months, excuse me, because that was October. We got the financing at AFM in November, and we were shooting in February. So that's how quick that happened. Just recently I said, I posted something about wanting to get creative and make something again, because I was doing too much selling. And that's where that came from. So that's the one that we're doing in November.
Oh, that is fabulous. That's great news. Now, tell me, what is this other thing that you're working on where you get the pages weekly? Explain that one.
Well, this is, you know, I'm getting pages from this guy probably monthly, I would say. He's a well-known graphic artist, and we met in Comic-Con San Diego. And I just had a screenplay where I thought, man, this would work so well as a graphic novel, you know, which is basically a comic book, but in book form. And he's illustrating it, and, you know, I get to see my kind of work come alive in that regard, you know, by every month I get a couple more pages until we're going to be done with this. So I'm excited to see where it turns out, but then we'll put it out there as a graphic novel / comic book. And, you know, that's where things like True Blood was started first. The Walking Dead started as a graphic novel. Watchmen, you know, there's a lot of projects that start from there. So for me, I just want another, you know, I want a comic book / graphic novel with my name as author. So that was my motivation there.
Whoa. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be wonderful.
Cool.
And where do you go for a publisher? You have to go to Doubleday or somebody outside of Michael Wiese's world?
Oh, yeah. I think there's certain different publishers for that genre. Diamond, I think, is the main publisher there. But, you know, it's one of these things where I'll kind of cross that bridge when I come to it. You know, I have some literary agent connections, too, that could potentially sell it that way. But I'm just kind of jumping in the pool and seeing where I go with it, just because I know it'll be a good – I know the material and the comic book will look great.
Would you want to make this into a movie?
Yes, yeah, and funny enough, at different points I've had it potentially almost set up. I almost had it set up with Lakeshore, which would have been great at one point, but then they had a similar type film not do well at the box office. But that would be the goal, because it's almost like when you have a graphic novel or a comic book, it's almost like you're handing somebody storyboards to your movie, you know, so then they can really visualize it. And I just felt that this screenplay needed to be visualized in that way. And hopefully we'll get it financed after the novel's done.
Oh, yes. Good luck on that. Sounds like it. All right. Well, just tell us what's going on. You are still available to work as a producer. Do you have time to work as a producer for people with their films?
Well, sometimes, you know, it depends on the project, and the timing is the key. You know, it's like if it was, you know, last year I produced a movie in December called In Vino, that we have, you know, happy to say we have 4 offers on the table right now for that movie. So that's great. And it was just worked out, you know, it was a timing kind of thing. And, but AFM in November is always, you know, a horrible time for me. Usually October is pretty tough too, because I'm getting ready for AFM. And so this just happened that it was December. And so it was great. I had the time and we were able to do it. So it's always a timing thing with that. You know, but look, I love making movies, and I like helping people too. So it always depends on what time of year it is, and, you know, and what's going on with other projects. So it's the answer is, I guess, depending on the time, it could be definitely a yes.
Okay, and tell us how people can reach you, particularly those people who have product that they want to get distributed. How do they reach you, Tom?
You can go to the distribution website is called glasshousedistribution.com, and you can go there and you can send an email there, and that goes to Michelle, who works with us. She's one of the two acquisitions people that I have, the two acquisitions and sales people that I have, Michelle Alexandria. The other guy's Rob Deej, and they're both great. And, you know, that's how we kind of then we'll take a look at the film from there. But, yeah, we welcome any submissions. But, you can reach me there or, you know, at TomMalloy.com. I have my movie Screamers that you mentioned in the beginning. We just signed a deal with Epic Pictures, and that comes out to theaters in November. So they're going to start it small, and hopefully we build and catch on.
Epic Pictures, congratulations. And it comes out in what month, September?
November.
November. Oh, just in time for Halloween. That'll be terrific.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're hoping to and catch it right after, like, the major studio Halloween movies come out. Then we'll hopefully fit in right after when people are kind of still want the scary movies. And then there we go.
And this is within 1 year, because you were on the hayride with your daughter a year ago, right?
No, that was the year before. Yeah, because it was like last year we were...
2 years.
We shot it last year. Yeah, exactly. We shot it last year. We were producing it and, you know, and finalizing it and everything. And we really didn't even finish the editing until early this year. And so, yeah, there you go.
But isn't that is a feat to do it in 2 years from conception to opening night?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think so. I've gotten to the point where I have enough distributor contacts that I know how to make a film that I feel like I could have sold it even quicker. But we wanted to wait for the right deal. And we feel like Epic Pictures, who owns Dread Central, which is a huge, probably the biggest horror website, they were just perfect for us, and we liked them as a company. And so we feel like we got the right deal.
Wonderful. Okay, Tom, thank you so much. This has been such a great interview. I really appreciate your time and your information. So what can you tell filmmakers who are out there struggling to get their films made?
Well, there's a long answer there, you know, and I try to keep it as specific as possible. I would say, you know, the smartest, quickest way is to partner with someone who knows what they're doing. I hate to say it in that regard, you know, after I just sat on the interview here and said that I'm not available all the time, but it's not, you know, there's a lot of me out there. So there's a lot of other producers. So find somebody that's done this before and try to partner with them and get them excited about your film, because there's certain things like I think this is my 15th movie that I'm producing coming up. And I mean, I look at the path I took that was all zigzaggy and crazy. And it's like, if I had, you know, known what I didn't know then, it'd be such a much more straighter line. So partner with somebody that can put you in that straight line, and before you know it, you'll be doing it just as good as everybody else.
Sounds great, Tom. All right. I look forward to seeing you soon. We're going to be teaching the intentional filmmaking class in late September.
Yes. Oh, I always love doing that class. It's, you know, it's so great that when we get the emails from the filmmakers afterwards and how they're moving forward with their projects. We just got one, and, you know, and I love that. It makes me feel like I'm giving back and we're accomplishing something.
Carol, I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, would you please share for our listeners how they can reach you if they're interested in this class?
Oh, thank you very much. All you have to do is call from the Heart Productions, 805-984-0098. Talk to Carol. Or you can go online at fromtheheartproductions.com and check out mentoring classes. Go to the intentional filmmaking class and read about it. And then you can email if you need more information. But we've been doing this for 5 years now, Tom. Can you believe it?
Yes. Oh, my God. I would not have guessed that at all. That's amazing. That's crazy.
It's wonderful, and we've helped make a lot of films. That Fairhaven came out of our class, and a lot of filmmakers have been successful afterwards.
I got an email that Fairhaven, which was one of the people in our first class, and then, you know, she directed, I produced it, is still playing on Showtime. So I just got an email, somebody just said, hey, you know, it's on Showtime right now, so it's still playing apparently, so it's great.
Oh, my gosh, this is good news. And she's now a full-fledged filmmaker, where she was, want to be. I have a script, what do I do, when she joined the class, right?
100%, she's out there. And I know she's got a TV show in development, and then she's got a movie that she's going forward with right now, so it's great.
Oh, TV show in development, too. Wow. All right. Well, have a great day, and thank you so much for your kindness, Tom. We appreciate it.
Happy to talk anytime. Okay, Carol. All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you, Claire. Thank you so much.
Carol.
I forgot about the filmmaking class. You're so sweet. Take care.
All right. Be well, everyone.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.
A really big chicken sandwich combo with double chicken, double cheese and bacon, plus curly fries and a drink for just $3.99.
Thank you for driving through my wall to get it to me.
That's what I do. Only at Jack in the Box. Small fries and small drink. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Here, try my really big chicken sandwich combo with double chicken, double cheese and bacon, plus curly fries and a drink for just $3.99.
Thank you for driving through my wall to get it to me.
That's what I do. Only at Jack in the Box. Small fries and small drink. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.